Support for this podcast comes from Sunbug Solar, a Revision Energy company. With sales of electric vehicles growing, businesses can show employees and customers they're committed to clean energy and employee satisfaction with a workplace EV charging program. Learn more at revisionenergy.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. April is Earth Month, and it's a time to reflect on the one planet we have. And for a lot of us, that brings up climate change and how it's affecting our communities. So all month long, we're featuring weekly conversations with some of the people in Greater Boston working to build our region's resilience in the face of a changing climate. Today's guest is Ariana Perdomo. She's a senior in high school, and she's involved with many projects, including serving as a member of the Governor's Climate Youth Council and working with the Environmental Chelsea Organizers Youth Program through Green Roots in Chelsea, where she lives. Ariana, thank you so much for coming through to The Common.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yeah. So tell us how you got involved in climate justice work in Chelsea.
Yeah, so my parents were actually first active community members within Green Roots. And I was kind of brought into like all the members meetings that they would have because my parents would go. And I would just kind of be surrounded by everyone like talking about, I just like hear these big words and like environmental science, and it just all seemed so complicated. And in my head, I was like, I am not going to do this. When I grew up, like it was something that I just had not thought of. Mm-hmm. But when I officially joined the Environmental Chelsea Youth Organizers, or ECO, when I was 14, that's when I sort of realized that there are different branches and different areas within environmental science. And the one that caught my attention was environmental policy. And so that's kind of what I've done throughout my work. And I'm actually going to the University of Maine in the fall to study environmental science.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think if I like told my 12-year-old self that I would be doing environmental science, like she would not believe me. But I'm actually glad I've kind of gotten involved. It has opened my eyes to like so many different and like new experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask about some of the work you do with Green Roots. So for folks who don't know, Green Roots is an environmental advocacy group, and you've been organizing conversations among young people in your area, in your city. You've been organizing these conversations around climate change and the concerns that come with it. Tell us about some of those concerns.
Yeah, so one of the main concerns that ECO has been trying to address is we're trying to get a youth center. And this is a collaboration with Northeastern University. And we have developed a survey where we kind of get a glimpse of what specific places youth already use. And now we have a series of youth focus groups where we lay out maps depicting indoor and outdoor spaces, and we let you say like what they already use, what parks and spaces they would use if they had more access to it. And with the data that we've been kind of collecting, we're going to present it at the Chelsea Research Festival later in May, where we hope to kind of keep this project going, trying to get the attention of our local city councilors and really trying to get this project going.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, how does this youth center tie in with some of the climate concerns you're hearing from youth in your community?
Yeah, so through the focus groups that I mentioned, we have a map that shows the outdoor spaces. We have very few green areas and blue areas as well in our community. And
in Chelsea?
Yes, in Chelsea. And so having little outdoor space and also having like little indoor spaces as well is sort of like it leaves the question, like, where do the youth go? That kind of relates to like just the environmental kind of racism actually that Chelsea faces, because a lot of the residents are Hispanic, and social economic differences between residents in Chelsea. And I think that kind of puts a lot of environmental burdens onto us. And I think that's one of the main concerns that us as ECO are trying to work on, something that's really, it relates to kind of like what Chelsea faces as a whole and how it's sort of like impacting the youth.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like what you're talking about is how green space, you know, while it has all these environmental benefits, it's soaking up rainwater or helping to keep an area cool, it's also a good space for the community. It sounds like that's more of the spatial aspect of climate change, right?
Yes, exactly.
Ariana, I want to take a break right now, but when we get back, I want to know what issues you're thinking about that intersect with climate change. So we'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunbug Solar, a Revision Energy company, 100% employee-owned and local to Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine. With sales of electric vehicles growing, businesses can show employees and customers they're committed to clean energy and employee satisfaction with a workplace electric vehicle charging program. Learn about the benefits of installing commercial EV chargers at revisionenergy.com.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back with Ariana Perdomo. So, Ariana, I'm interested to know how you're thinking about climate change as an intersectional issue. Earlier, you mentioned environmental racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are there any other social concerns that come up for you where you see that there's a connection there with climate change and climate change is kind of complicating it?
Yeah, definitely. I think kind of how I mentioned before, environmental racism, how we're predominantly Hispanic and immigrant families. And so there's a lot of factors that kind of go into it. And Chelsea, we also have the New England producers coming in and out of the city. We have salt piles like next to us. There's just a lot of things that are just being put onto us, onto a community that really doesn't deserve that. And, you know, no community deserves that. But it's just kind of the question of like, why? Why is it us? Why is it other communities as well that are being kind of marginalized and put onto these things? And I think that all of this is something that I have kind of seen growing up, realizing that as much as we all try, you know, it's something that's so, it just goes beyond us in a way. But I think trying mm-hmm. to kind of be together and doing small steps between our community has been really something that has shown me that despite, you know, the overwhelming intersections and sometimes the losses, it's just having a community behind your back that has been supporting me and everyone throughout this.
We're not going to become more climate resilient by ourselves as individuals, right? We got to work together.
Right.
I also want to ask about your work as a member of the Governor's Youth Climate Council. How are you bringing the concerns of your community to the State House?
So with being part of the Governor's Council, well, first, I was super excited to be part of it. And I heard it was like the first one that there's been ever. So I felt like special and like honored to be part of it. I was also surprised that there was a lot of youth across the state. And at the beginning, they split us up into like different areas. So I was part of the Metro Boston area, and hearing everyone also speak on their problems, it's sad to say this, but it's kind of been comforting just to know that there are other communities that are facing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think having that shared connection and feeling of frustration, of disappointment that we are experiencing this as at such a young age has been something that has kind of motivated us to continue going. Mm-hmm. And being part of Chelsea, I think when I share, like some people are kind of shocked. They're like, wait, you guys have like salt piles in your neighborhood? Like we don't have that. And I'm like, yeah. And when I hear them say like, oh yeah, we have like this big, nice grassy area. And I'm like, wow, well, we don't have that. We have like limited access to that. So I think just seeing the differences inspires me, like motivates me to continue doing the work that I do and trying to bring in my best efforts to the council.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about how young you are. You are 17. Mm-hmm. That means you're part of Gen Z.
Yes.
And you just talked about how your work on the Governor's Youth Climate Council kind of opened your eyes to the fact that your community isn't the only one expressing concerns and disappointment and frustration around climate change, right?
Yeah.
As a young person who works with other young people, do you ever get frustrated about climate change and how our elected officials and the people in power, you know, don't seem to be moving quick enough on it or doing enough for it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel frustrated so many times because it's just so unfair. Like, I want to do so much, but because we are young and sometimes we're just considered as like kids and they don't know anything, is we're just kind of put to the side. It's just that feeling of frustration knowing that what they're not doing, the things that we're like asking and not taking it into consideration, is really just leaving the impact on us, you know, because as the next generation, we're going to have to deal with all of that. So we actually lobbied at the State House back in January. ECO is part of the Massachusetts Youth Climate Coalition. Mm-hmm. And that coalition is a series of like environmental youth groups, clubs and organizations just under one umbrella across the state. We advocated for priority bills and kind of what we want to see. We gave little speeches. We went to talk to legislators. And that movement was so powerful for me and so impactful. Mm-hmm. Because seeing just a lot of groups and youth all going into the State House, as you said, like as this Gen Z going in with the same goal, with the same enthusiasm, with that confidence and power, is so motivating and inspiring. And I had a good experience with talking to my legislators, but I heard that there were other groups that kind of had like a rocky start. And so hearing how at the end of the day, it's in their hands, no matter what we do, because of just power dynamics and like systems, that was the most frustrating part. And although I felt like super, you know, we all felt like successful and inspired, it's kind of like that letdown at the end of the day, like, you know, it's not up to us essentially. But I think just the effort, honestly, is everything, especially in grassroots organizing.
Understood. I have one last question for you.
Yes.
If other young people hear this and they're interested in getting involved with climate advocacy work in their own communities, where would you recommend they begin?
That's a good question. I would recommend they begin at school, joining an environmental club, joining maybe just like an outside club.
Either joining or starting one.
Exactly. Like taking that initiative is the first step. And it takes guts. It takes like so much courage. But I think once you start, like if you have like a group of friends and you just like going like, hey, let's start this, that just like gets people going, you know, and like trying to find ways to kind of, what do, you know, people our age like, how to get them engaged, I think is super important. And starting small, you know, doing your own research, taking that first step is the biggest and like the best thing that you can possibly do to kind of reach larger audience. And it will be hard. I've been frustrated. It's overwhelming. Sometimes it's disappointing, but you feel so good because you know that you're doing something that's not only benefiting like your community or your school, you're contributing to something greater. And I think that's like so, that's like the biggest satisfaction at the end of the day, you know, despite like all the ups and downs, that's the biggest satisfaction.
Understood. Well, Ariana, this has been wonderful. You were great. Thank you so much for coming through to The Common and talking with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Ariana Perdomo, climate activist with Green Roots and a member of the Governor's Youth Climate Council. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.